Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
All right, you're very welcome back to this Monday evening's Off the Ball. It is now time for Monday Night Rugby. Neil Tracy here with you this evening and delighted to be joined at the moment by La Rochelle head coach Ronan O'Gara. Ronan, Happy New Year. How are you this evening?
Many happy returns, Neil. I'm good, yeah. I'm very well yourself.
I'm not too bad now. I imagine you're in a good mood after the weekend's result. Another win against Agen. Still top of the table in the top 14.
Yeah, going well. But Agen were weaker probably than I anticipated. And we had a poor start to the game, but managed to get our composure and get back into the game. We're doing some good things. Obviously, it's nowhere near a sustained period of 80 minutes or anything like that. But the signs are promising, and it's an enjoyable team to coach. And there's a good buzz in the camp. And we're going to Racing this weekend, so that'll be a far, far more difficult task, but a task to be looked forward to.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that Racing this weekend. They had a good win as well, just at the weekend gone, and Simon Zebo crossing for a try as well. Would you ever be in touch with Simon Zebo or Donica Ryan, any of those lads, in the week leading up to a game, or would you just leave it till kind of after full time?
I think it's a little bit different for Simon. Myself and Donica probably have played together, and obviously I played with Simon for a little bit as well, but there's a bit of a generation gap, but I've great admiration and time for Zeebs. I would be in constant, I suppose, communication with Donica Ryan, because I think I've always, I suppose, rated his brain. He's got a brilliant rugby brain. He's a very interesting guy to talk to about the game. He, when I was coaching in Racing, I think he opened my eyes to kind of how you can set up defensive line out forward pods to free up your so-called better defenders of your forwards to align them with your back. So he has some great ideas on the game, and he's always a great man to chat to. The only problem is that if you see him ringing you, you know you got to be on the phone for 80 minutes sometimes.
So is he someone, I know he probably fancies himself to play on for another 10 years or so, but is he someone when he hangs up the boots you could see taking on the whistle, being a coach?
Yeah, I think he would be very, very good. I think he has he's very tolerant, I think, in his behaviours. I think that's very important, I think, coaching and the modern player. But he's also very wise, and he's also very open. And he's someone, I think, that if he doesn't play on, he'd be a shrewd acquisition by any coach, by any group. He's a top guy.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. So bit of news this afternoon. There was a bit of talk earlier on this morning about the French clubs not being too happy with the EPC or COVID protocols, testing, I think, was it 5 or 6 days in advance? They were looking for 3. There's a bit of news this evening. The EPC or saying their medical advisory group met to discuss protocols for the tournament. So they're saying no club participating in the Heineken Champions Cup or Challenge Cup has officially informed EPC or of any intention not to fulfil their remaining fixtures in the season. There's talk that they have kind of said as well that they will be reviewing their protocols. Is that something that you'd been aware of, teams in France were unhappy with?
Yeah, we were aware. I think obviously it was, I suppose, brought to our attention and highlighted by Bayonne. So I think they travelled to Leicester and their club is shut now. So I don't think they'll play a game till the end of January in the top 14. And I was aware that they'd come out and said that they were retracting, or they were opting out of the Challenge Cup games. But that's obviously contrary to the statement you've just read out there. So I'm sure there'll be another few twists in this debate going forward. But it was encouraging to read, I suppose, Jackie Lorenzetti's words today, that it was Europe means so much to a lot of the French teams. And I think we definitely fit into that bracket too. Obviously, Racing have far more history in the competition than La Rochelle. But we have, I suppose, nine points at this stage from two games, obviously one of them coming from 5 points, with Bappe not able to fulfil their fixture. But it's very soon, Neil, and the fact that we're meant to be going there the week after next. So we have had options in terms of provisional planning of A, B, C and D all throughout the last 9 months, especially with COVID. But this is very, very challenging, but it's obviously a very exciting time for the club as well, and the fact that you get a result away at the Bath and you beat Edinburgh at home and you're in a quarterfinal of a European Cup, that's why you get involved, and that's why you do hard pre-seasons to get to these, I suppose, stages of the competition, especially for a club like La Rochelle, who were, 6 years ago in Pro D2. So we obviously want the games to go ahead, but it's the same as the concussion rule. It's the same as anything else. The health and safety of the players and, I suppose, the staff is of utmost importance. So we have to take that into account primarily.
Yeah, and I suppose when you've been put into such a good position now where you have maximum points from those two games, you're going to be so eager to actually get back out against Bath next time and carry that on as well. I'm just going to break away very quickly because we've had a goal in the Premier League between Southampton and Liverpool, an early goal at St Mary's, and with the details is Peter Hood.
Southampton 1, Liverpool 0. Dream start for the home side. Danny Ings within 2 minutes latching on to a free kick from Ward-Prowse to hook the ball over Alisson and into the back of the net. It's Southampton 1, Liverpool 0.
Yeah, so Southampton 1-0 up on Liverpool. 8 minutes play there at St Mary's through that Danny Ings goal. Going to move to... You're smiling there?
No, I said that's not the news we wanted. That's
you're Liverpool,
yes, big time, right. Yeah.
We'll keep you updated over the next 10 minutes or so, don't worry. I am going to move on to the weekend's action here at home, though, because Connacht's big win against Leinster, first time in 19 years beating Leinster in Dublin. Jack Carty starring, like complete star of the show, 25 points for him, the joint most anyone has ever scored in a professional game against Leinster. He was on OTBM this morning. We're just going to play a very short little clip before we get into it, where he was asked about his own form for the province over the last few years and whether he thinks he's been rewarded with enough Irish caps.
Look, I think, I suppose, say if there was a squad name tomorrow and I wasn't to be named, I think I'd be okay with that because I've actually played, or my performances of late have been okay, or have been sufficient for myself. But it was a case where maybe my performances weren't. I'd be disappointed not in the fact that I wasn't picked, but in the fact that I wasn't playing well. So I know if I continue to play well, that I'll get rewarded for it in that respect. But It's I'm just happy the way I'm playing. It's enjoyable playing rugby in Connacht at the moment, and I think that's the most important thing for me. So hopefully at the end of January or February something will come along. If it doesn't, look, I'll keep plowing away, and hopefully we can win something here in Connacht.
And is that maturity relatively recent or new? Is that a point of peace that you've made? If I'm playing well and I know that I've done everything that I'm supposed to do, then that's outside of my control?
I think so, yeah. Look, you can't really control how other players are playing or kind of what, how selection's going to go. Obviously, in terms of the teams may play a bit differently, so they might be looking for different things in different players. But I think it was something that maybe 2 years ago when I was playing really well and wasn't being picked, then, I might have looked further afield to kind of test myself somewhere else. But, it's nothing really, it's kind of out of your control. The only thing you can control is your own performance.
Jack Carty there speaking on OTBM, and we'll actually play you out a little bit more of that later on in the hour as well. And a reminder as well, tomorrow we'll be speaking to his Connacht's teammate Tom Daly, who was also brilliant and scored a try in their win against Leinster at the weekend. Ronan, that was Jack Hardy there on, I suppose, his international ambitions. Where would you put him in the pecking order at the moment?
Yeah, that is a very good question. I think there's a context, I suppose, that you have to give a little bit of background to where this result came from, because it's certainly when I had a bit of sketchy coverage on the bus coming home from Agen. I was trying to watch it, but I got glimpses of it before it froze now and then. And I'm correct in saying that Connacht came off a bitterly disappointing defeat to Ulster at home the previous week. Mm-hmm. So that was probably, so they came down and expectations were probably low, but there was obviously going to be a reaction because from that performance, and I saw that game, Connacht were very, very disappointing at home. So Leinster, I would say, if you look at, well, certainly they're very experienced halfbacks. They had an experimental midfield and a very, very rookie back three. In the fact of, I think two of the back three were hugely inexperienced. But the other side of that is that if you're in the Leinster group, you're a quality player. So it doesn't really matter what age you are, what number of caps you have for the province. You have to be an extremely good player to get on the pitch, because they're. Training, I know for a fact, would be of such high quality that you have to earn the right to play at the weekend. So I think where you have to give massive credit to Connacht is probably it wasn't sneaking over the line or a dogged performance against Leinster. The rugby they played and the opportunities they took and they created for themselves to put 35 points, was it?
On, yeah, 35-24.
On Leinster in the RDS. In January, essentially one of the hardest months of the year to play rugby, when the ball is probably at its most difficult to handle, you have to give, huge credit to Connacht for their capacity, to pick weaknesses in the Leinster defence and capitalise on it. In terms of Jack Carty, I think he was exquisite. But I think the challenge for him now is that against Ulster, he was poor. And then he was at the complete other range of the spectrum against Leinster. So people are sitting up and taking notice of him now. But for him to challenge Johnny for an Irish jersey, that has to be consistent. So for him, he has a brilliant opportunity again this weekend, because he'll be in the shop window against... for a big game, because Connacht host Leinster, or host Munster, yes?
Yeah.
In the Sports Ground at the weekend. So I think that's a game that Munster traditionally do well in. I think they actually have probably a big success rate in Connacht. So for the Connacht team and for Jack Carty especially, it's a massive opportunity to see, can he back up that performance? Because at test level, doing what he did last weekend is great, and it gets you headlines, but you need to be able to do that consistently. Obviously not to that probably Roy the Rover standard. 15 points would be a good outcome. He doesn't need to go 25 points this weekend, but he's their points accumulator. I think it was probably I read a few articles, I think Nandy Friend described it very well, as the fact that it was probably his placed ball kicking that was most impressive at the weekend, because he has been a little bit inconsistent off the tee, and if he's to kick goals for Ireland under pressure, he's got to be nailing them at club level, and he looked like he had great control and composure in his kicking game at the weekend.
If I can put you into like your coach's mindset here in terms of man management, what would Andy Friend be doing to kind of put the confidence in him that he can go on and do this every single week, and that he should be there in an Ireland squad to bring him up to that level where, as you say, we're not looking back at an Ulster game last week and saying, God, he wasn't quite there,
exactly,
but he was brilliant against Leinster. Like, what would you necessarily be doing with a player? What would you be saying to them?
Yeah, I think it's a massive opportunity for Jack to grow now, because no doubt in the corner of his mind and all week was the fact that he was coming up against Johnny Sexton, and that's a big challenge to any young 10 and any other 10 in Ireland, because Johnny's been doing the business for so long for Leinster, and it's Leinster at home. And he'd have to, I suppose, be able to handle that mentally first before he can turn that into a performance. But going forward, I think he has a great opportunity to grow his game and get consistently better. And there are similarities, I think, where it may be interesting for him too. He could have a little look at Finn Russell, because for me, they could be quite similar players. And the fact that Jack plays very instinctively, and I think there isn't a better player in the world that plays instinctively than Finn Russell, and his attack and kicking game and his capacity to play at the line is really, really good. And I see similar traits in Jack Carty and his capacity to do that. I think we have seen him before, you know, I mean, breaking into the World Cup squad and going to the World Cup. I think he most definitely has the talent, maybe. And I think there's a lot of good people in Connacht Rugby that are probably advising him now. And I think he's kind of hopefully turned the corner mentally to realise it's my time now. This is kind of when I need to kick on and I need to put pressure. And I have to, because you don't get into Irish camps by the first time you knock on the door. You have to do it consistently, especially in a number 10 jersey. And I think he's putting in performances that everyone's kind of going, whoa, this is a different Jack Carty. But I think if he does that consistently, he most definitely will be in the Irish squad.
Would you be recommending almost that there needs to be a bit more arrogance about his game when he's on the pitch? Or is that just not his style? And if you were to try get him to do that, you might lose all the other things that, you know, all the good things.
It's perception against reality. You know, at the outside, sometimes, you know what I mean, you get the perception that he could be very relaxed, but that's maybe an inaccurate comment because we don't know the guy. It's the similar, I suppose, comments have been thrown at Lopez from Claremont, the fact that genetically his body shape is that way and he's meant to be an unbelievable worker in the gym and trains the house down. But people are sloppy in their commentary about him and the fact that he doesn't look like Ronaldo, the fact that he, you know, he carries a little bit of excess body fat, but that doesn't, you can't have preconceived ideas about players in that regard. I don't know Jack too well. I've had a few discussions with him over the years, hoping that he'd kick on, and he has kicked on. But I think, listen to his snippets of his own interview, he's got to control what he can control. But the easiest thing for him is to perform like he did last weekend, as opposed to sometimes missing a kick on the axis of a 15 metre. That I think younger players or people that are trying to make the breakthrough underestimate the, I think when you're trying to, I suppose, on a performance graph, when you're trying to go steady performance, excellent performance, if you can then, after an excellent performance, you can have a steady performance and another steady performance and then a good performance, I think that's where you make progress. What happens sometimes if you go excellent performance and then the following week you have a 2 or 3 out of 10 and it kills all the good work and actually sets you further back? Because I think what happens in coaches' minds is that it's very hard to select a guy that is unreliable. And I'm not saying that about Jack Carty at all. I'm just trying to make the point that, you mean, sometimes by pushing it too hard, you can self-implode. What he needs to do against Munster now is have a solid game. And if he has a solid game, that's progress.
Yeah, and it was bang on this time 2 years ago that he put himself, first of all, into the kind of international recognition where he had, it was actually the game against Leinster as well, where he was unbelievable and Connacht should have won and threw away a big lead with probably 10, 12 minutes to go. And then got his kind of call up into the Six Nations squad, and all 10 of his caps came in that calendar year of 2019, from Six Nations through to the World Cup. I would imagine there's probably, I know he was saying it in the interview we had with him there, that, you know, if he doesn't get called up and he's playing well, he's okay with it because he's just happy in his game. But I would imagine there'd have to be a bit of eagerness to get back into an Ireland shirt, so that the 2019 World Cup isn't the kind of the lingering memory of international rugby.
Yeah, of course, he's got a comment like that because he plays his rugby in Ireland, and he's a respectful guy, but he'd be fuming. And if you're not fuming, there's something wrong with you. So, you know, I mean, he's a competitor, he wants to win, but he obviously puts the team first, and that's what good tens do. He realises that, you know, I mean, if Connacht go well, he has a better chance of being in an Irish team, and it's of interest to him also, because we all know too, if your team is going forward, your halfbacks look better. So the more Connacht pack goes forward, the better himself, and they've got two good nines there that will look good. So Yeah, of course it'll hurt, but like it's important that I think sometimes people, you gotta keep producing consistently to play test rugby. You know what I mean? It's a step up from Pro 14 to playing a test match, especially in Millennium Stadium or Stade de France or Twickenham or Murrayfield. It's very, very different to playing a so-called test game for Ireland against the Tier 2 nation in the Aviva. It's different, completely different, Neil.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, as we've kind of said for the last few months, there's a gap in the market for an Irish out half to nail his place down and put himself firmly as, for now anyway, maybe the backup to Johnny Sexton, but to be a long-term heir.
Yeah, exactly. There is huge opportunities because, between the ages of 28 to probably 30, you peak as a 10. And so obviously all the guys that are looking to try and get into the number two slot, they're all none of them are near 30 yet. So there's a great opportunity for one of them to grasp it. And I think that's what Irish rugby needs, because they most definitely need Johnny performing. But also with that, it's a 23-man game at this stage, and the attritional rate of test rugby for 80 minutes, it's highly unlikely that the fellow that you start with finishes the game. Those days are over in rugby. It's just become two men sharing the job.
Mm-hmm. Ron O'Gara, been an absolute pleasure speaking to you again as always, and a happy new year to you, and a very best of luck against Racing 92 this weekend.
Good man, Neil. Thank you. Don't say the same to Dunnick or Ryan or Prendy or Zeebs.
Still 1-0 to Southampton, I'll let you know. 23 minutes play there at St Mary's. Long way to go. That was Ronan O'Gara speaking to us there. Cheers and a happy new year to Ronan as well. So as I say, 23 minutes played at St Mary's, still Southampton 1, Liverpool 0 through that early Danny Ings goal. We'll be back with a little bit more of Jack Carty after the break.
Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.